1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me home. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the clock strikes 2, 3, and 4, seven.
My name is Murray, I'm with my co-host Corey, and we are The Real Guys. This is Sign Radio, and this is The Real Show with two E's. The music you just heard was We're Gonna Rock Around the Clock Tonight by Bill Haley and the Comets from 1956, used in the soundtrack of the film American Graffiti, directed by George Lucas. 1956, what was that year like, Corey?
Groovy.
Groovy year. We've got a packed show for you today for this special broadcast, and we are your number one platform on the airwaves and YouTube for pop culture, film and television discussion. As always, I'm accompanied by my co-host, Corey. How are you doing today, Corey?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good, good. I'll just let you know, our other platforms, we are on Instagram at The Real Show FM and on Twitter at The Real Show FM. I tweet a lot, a couple times a day. If you're interested, it's funny, you know, I'm really funny. So give us a follow, give us a like, give us a subscribe. We're also on YouTube, The Real Show. Look us up, we're there as well.
Nice.
It's all, nice, now, all, I've got all that, now I've got all that out of the way. Let's move on to American Graffiti and George Lucas. George Lucas, it was his birthday recently, excuse me.
It was.
And we've got a couple of things that are coming up. We have the return of Movie Versus. Excited for that.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since we've had a Movie Versus. We're coming in with Movie Versus. You'll be hearing that later. And to kick us off, we've got a top five. We enjoyed some top fives last week, did we not?
We did. That's top five Starfighters.
Yeah, we did a top five Starfighters, and we did a top five. Did we do a top five something else?
No, I believe it was just top five Starfighters.
All right, okay, cool. Nice. Sorry, I thought we did two. It's fine. We top five theories, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
We did. Oh, you klutz. You forgot about that, didn't you? You absolute klutz. You forgot about that. We did a top five theories. How have you forgotten the theories, Corey?
I was testing you.
Oh, of course you were. I passed the test.
You did.
So,
very good.
We have another top five here today. We have top five obscure characters. Now, throughout the films in Star Wars, Media, Clone Wars, Rebels, but the films specifically, there are loads of obscure background characters, supporting characters, one line, no lines. Do they look cool? Are they an alien? Mm. Are they not? They've got interesting backstories. It's Star Wars. Everyone's got an interesting backstory. So me and Corey have sort of trawled the depths of the Star Wars universe to bring you our top five obscure characters from the films. Now, a couple of rules here. They have to have appeared in the films. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Yes. They have to at least have had one line or no lines. They have to be featured somewhere. They can have appeared in other things. They could have appeared in maybe Rebels afterwards or Star Wars, the Clone Wars, but they have to have had their start in the films. So or comics or books or whatever. But they have to have had their start in the films. So that's where we're going today. Isn't that right, Corey?
It is correct. Correct, Mundo.
Cool. Now, who wants to kick off? So I'll let you kick off. Who have you got first?
I can kick off. My number five is Constable Zuvio.
Constable Zuvio. Okay. Zuvio. And who, the listener, you might explain to the listener, the viewer, who is Constable Zuvio? Explain where Constable Zuvio first came from, perhaps.
So the trilogy is coming out, right? Force Awakens, it's a big thing. And it's Star Wars is back, and it's this character who we've been hearing some stuff about, right? It's going to be a big character. And an action figure gets made, mm-hmm. Constable Zuvio, got his nice staff, got his spear, appears in the trailer, right? He's an alien wearing a green and red hat, and who is this guy? He's playing a big part in Star Wars. Film comes around. Everyone's thinking, where is he? Where's this big character going to be? He's got trailers, he's got figures, where is he? He appears once in the film and contributes nothing to the rest of the trilogy. That's Constable Zuvio. Somehow managed to get an action figure and had this.
Constable Zuvio, I feel like, is a classic Star Wars example of the character that looks cool, really hyped, and then does nothing.
It
isn't even there.
Maybe they did have plans for him. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they thought, you know what? We'll just make a figure. We'll get some buzz.
I think he appears in the background of like one shot of Jakku.
Yeah.
And then he's in The Mandalorian for like a couple of scenes, like as a background character.
Yeah. I think that's
just
it.
Just because they reuse like the suit or whatever, they reuse like the suit for him.
Yeah,
so
obviously it's the same person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My number five is another alien from The Force Awakens. Mine is Professor Allium.
Okay.
Now, not as well known as Constable Zuvio, Professor Allium appears in Episode 7, The Force Awakens, as I said, and he appears in Maz's castle. Professor Allium is there, and he is a very tall alien. He looks, got a big pea head. He's got a big green head with loads of sort of long grey hair. He's got a weird sort of screwed up face, a weird shrew face, and he's got a big green head and a big tall collar, and he's a big tall man, and he walks around the castle, and that's it. He has no lines. You can barely see him in the background of a shot, but he is there. And he's the classic Star Wars example of looks cool, does nothing. I don't even know what his background is.
I was going to say,
I think he's some kind of intergalactic professor.
Do we actually know what his race is? Like,
no, we don't know what his race is either. There was a bunch of aliens in Episode 7 who just have cool-looking designs, but we have no idea what their race is. It's not listed. It's not listed on his Wikipedia. on his Wikipedia account, it's not listed. Now, who's your number four?
I'm kicking it off back to the prequels, back to everyone's favourite, Phantom Menace.
Oh, we love the Phantom Menace.
Everyone loves Phantom Menace. And I'm going for Aurora Singh.
Aurora Singh. Now, this is probably the most developed character on this list. Maybe you've got one or two.
Yeah, well, she appears in the pod racing scene, just kind of standing there, mm-hmm. Hanging out. Everyone loves a bit of pod racing, you know. I'm on a bounty hunting mission. Oh, some pod racing. I'll just watch some pod racing before I go.
Well, actually, she was there for a reason. She was there for a reason. Apparently, one of the pod racers like went missing or something.
Right.
Or it was actually hard to, you know, take him out, get rid of him, because he was flying this experimental pod, which I love. I love that Star Wars does this. It was a minor detail that no one would have really cared about, but it's covered in the expanded material. So
I just assumed she was a big Sebulba fan.
Yeah. And she was concept art for a female bounty hunter who was called initially like Lady Fett or something, her name was, in prototype. She was like a Jedi apprentice, and she collected lightsabers, and she was really cool and ruthless, and she was this kind of insane assassin bounty hunter. Very interesting, though. I took a very good pick. I am also going to go to the prequels for my number four. I have two, if you don't mind. Okay. I have two characters, and those characters are Sam Hill and Shu Mai from the Separatist Council scene in Attack of the Clones. Now, Obi-Wan, he's on Geonosis, he's sneaking around, he infiltrates the secret meeting. Count Dooku is having a meeting with the Separatist Council. He's meeting them. There's loads of sort of businessmen and dignitaries there. Luke Gunray is there. Poggle the Lesser of the Geonosians there. One of your favourites, Wat Tambor, is there.
Good old Wat Tambor.
You do love Wat Tambor. But San Hill is there. And San Hill is a moon. He's a very long man. He's got a very tall head, very long fingers and arms. He's got one line. If you want an impression, I can give you an inflection if you like.
Go for it.
He goes, "The banking clan will sign your treaty." And that's what he says.
Nice.
Thank you. And then Shumai says something in an alien language. She's a gossam, and she works for the Commerce Guild. And Sanhil is the chairman of the banking clan. They side with Count Dooku, and they're on the Separatist Council through episode 2 and episode 3. Unlike most of these characters that we talk about, they do actually get a dignified end. They are killed by Darth Vader on Mustafar in episode 3. So
I'm keeping it in the prequels.
Keep it there.
Keeping it in Phantom Menace, right? Jedi Council. And I'm, of course, talking about the green, mean fighting machine that begins with a Y, which is obviously...
Yes.
Obviously, Yaddle.
Yaddle, not Yoda.
Not Yoda.
Yaddle.
Yaddle, who is Yoda but a woman.
Yes, Yoda but a woman.
And, again, not much is known about Yaddle. Mm-hmm. Appears in the new LEGO Star Wars games. Playable character, Yaddle.
Yeah.
Killed by Darth Vader in a vision.
Yes, is Yaddle. Yes. Well, no, I think she was on the council. She may have left for some reason or something, said, you know, "I don't want to live that council life, sit in a chair all day and do nothing."
Yeah.
What kind of job's that? No, none of the Jedi ever speak in the council, apart from Ki-Adi-Mundi sometimes.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
Yoda and Mace.
Similar to what we're saying, Yaddle was also concept art. However, Yaddle was concept art for a young Yoda and then became female Yoda.
She's one of the three members of Yoda's species that we know, which has never been named as well.
No, I get it. I'm surprised by that.
It is Yoda, Yaddle, and Grogu,
yes.
Or Baby Yoda, as he's called, from The Mandalorian. He's not actually Yoda, he's just a member of Yoda's species.
Yes.
Oh, it's a Baby Yoda. Like, no, it's not actually Baby Yoda. It's not Yoda when he's a baby, it's just a member of Yoda's species.
It's also not Yoda's baby.
It's also not Yoda's baby. Yoda and Yaddle didn't shack up in the Clone Wars. And have a baby Yoda.
I mean, yeah, that is Yaddle. I mean, who you got? Who's your number three?
Right, my number three is another two.
Okay.
I've gone for Momor Nadon and Arleel Scouse.
Right.
And they are both in Chalmers Spaceport Cantina in 1977 in episode 4 of New Hope. They show up in the cantina, you know. They show up there.
Another place chock full of background characters.
Yeah, it is. And they've all got names. I'll tell you this, Corey. They've all got names. They've all got backstories. Momor Nadon, a.k.a. Hammerhead, is what his nickname was before he was named. He's an Ithorian. He's got a big hammerhead, big head. And his backstory is that he used to be an Imperial spy who was working for the Empire, and he sort of leaked Ithorians' agricultural secrets, which are sacred. And the Ithorian society sort of cast him out, forced him into exile. So he now lives on Tatooine, and he has his own little secret garden. And Arleel Scouse, a.k.a. Wolfman, Arleel Scouse isn't actually in the special edition versions. He was removed for the favour of another Wolfman alien called Lak Sivrak. But in the Deepspace Last Edition, you can see him in all his glory. He's there, he's a big werewolf man, he's got a cup, he drinks from it, he does like a growl noise, he's got red eyes. And another cool little Star Wars detail I like is that it said that his species, his wolf species, is said to sort of refract light around him, so they're always in darkness. And that's funny because the shot of Arleel Scouse is just completely in the shadow, so you can barely see it.
Nice.
So canon... or Legends, rather, has made up for that by saying, you know what, his species just makes things really dark. That's why he's really dark sat there. So, my number three is Momor Nadon and Arleel Scouse, who are the Hammerhead and Wolfman at the Mos Eisley Cantina in episode 4.
And I'm gonna bring it to episode 6. Return of the Jedi. Right? And I'm going to pronounce this guy's name wrong. However, I'm going to say it the way that's more fun to say it, the way I think it should be pronounced.
Okay.
And I'm talking about Simalu.
Simalu.
Simalu. I mean, it's
not Simalu.
No, it's Simalu. It's two words, but you've got to say it like it's one word. Simalu.
I know he's one of the Emperor's aides.
Yes, one of Palpatine's right-hand men.
Simalu is one of the sort of dignitaries who accompany Palpatine to the second Death Star. Mm. And
also when dies on the second Death Star.
Yeah, dies on the second Death Star as well. My number two is actually Simalu's sort of companion, Simu Liu's friend, it's Janus Grigatus, who is the right hand, who is sort of the another right hand man of the Emperor, another one on the Imperial Ruling Council.
Another fun fact, Simu Liu's name was used in Star Wars Legends, Star Wars customizable card game.
Oh, thank you for that nice tidbit about Simu Liu.
He wasn't named until until the Death Star 2 Limited Pack came out for that game, and he was given a name.
Oh, excellent.
There you go.
If you want another feature about Janus Grigatus, his first appearance in Legends was in the novel Plagueis. So we both picked one of the Emperor's aides. You picked Simu Liu, and I picked Janus Grigatus.
Mm.
Now, your number one is
very important character in the Star Wars universe. Very well-known character in the Star Wars universe. Very, very widely cosplayed in the Star Wars universe, especially if you're cosplaying on a budget and happen to have an ice cream maker with you.
Yes.
I am, of course, talking about the great Wurro Hud from Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, Wurro Hud, the legend himself. You see but Wurro Hud run by the screen. He's wearing an orange jumpsuit. Yeah. He's got a big mustache. He's got... He's holding an ice cream maker, and he's just running for his life.
Yeah.
And in Legends, Wurro Hud is a rebel spy, and that ice cream maker is actually a computer data core, which is saving all the rebel information on it, and he's running out of there. But in canon, the ice cream maker, thanks to The Mandalorian, has been canonized to be a Camtano, which that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And it's actually like a storage device for precious items. And the fans have really taken... There is entire Star Wars fan groups who just dress up as Wurro Hud. There's action figures.
I was going to say, he's got his own action figure.
Yeah, there's action figures. Wurro Hud is one of those characters where if you're a Star Wars fan, you know who Wurro Hud is. Now, 1977, A New Hope. Uh-huh. But the person sat next to Luke, most people assumed was Wedge Antilles, right?
Yeah.
But he's got a different face, completely different voice. Wedge Antilles is later played by Dennis Lawson, who has played him up until episode 9.
Yeah.
But this character is called Cole Tackbright. And he's known, his nickname is Fake Wedge, because he looks a lot like Wedge. And the name Fake Wedge was initially a fan name given to him, because we didn't know who this man was. He was just a guy who looked loads like Wedge, but wasn't. In the 2017 book, Certain Points of View, it was released that... Cole Tackbright was his own character, and he was called Fake Wedge in that story, in that chapter, because he looked like Wedge Antilles. Everyone made fun of him for it. And at the end of the Battle of Yavin, when Luke is being congratulated, Wedge isn't there. Wedge actually goes to Cole Tackbright and says, "Hey, if I want to look like anyone, I want to look like you." So well done, good job. Even though Cole Tackbright wasn't actually allowed to fly up in an X-Wing, he was grounded. So yeah, it's a nice little, neat little story about this neat little character who just has one line, and he's got his own story. I really enjoy it, because it's proof that Star Wars does pay enough attention to detail. That is my number one. It is Cole Tackbright. And that is our top five for obscure characters. Yes. So we'll move on to the second portion of the episode now. And it's something pretty unique. I hope you're going to enjoy it. It's the return of Movie Versus. So let's get into that. Why don't we? And so on to the second part of... this episode of The Real Show, and we will be returning, in fact, to Movie Versus. Now, Movie Versus is something we did quite a few weeks ago, wouldn't you say?
I believe our last one was Christmas.
It was. It was the Christmas, determining the Christmas Cracker Champion.
Yes.
Which was Kermit the Frog. Kermit he won out Frog. At Christmas, the Christmas Cracker Championship. He managed to walk away with it. But now, in the words of William Regal, we're bringing it to War Games. Or should I say, War Games?
Exactly, War Games.
War Games. And War Games is a team of five this time,
yes,
going up against each other in a cage, but it's not a cage, it's a basketball court.
Yes.
Because the rules of Movie Versus are, this particular Movie Versus, it's Star Wars, right? It's Jedi versus Sith. I'm taking the side of the Jedi. Corey's taking the side of the Sith.
It's
as old as time, as old as Star Wars. We're bringing it right to the forefront. So what have we got? We've each picked five Jedi, five Sith. One to lead, one as the captain of your team, then two from the films and two from a non-film source. So it can be a book or a comic or a video game, canon or non-canon. That's what we're going to pick. We've got two for the films and two from another source. So there you go.
Yeah.
And then we're going to pit them against each other in a battle. It's Star War Games. Yes. Like the pun.
Star War Games.
Star War Games. Yeah, it's Star War Games. Who's going to win at Star War Games? We've got it's Team Sith, Team Jedi. So let's just jump right into it. Basic rules are you're allowed weapons this time. Normally you wouldn't allow weapons, but you need a lightsaber to fight.
Yes, it's Star Wars. You kind of have to.
Yeah, force powers are also allowed. You're in a basketball court, so it's, no one's gonna get the high ground. No one's gonna get the low ground. No one can take cover. You're not allowed any help. You've only got your teammates, and that's it. That's the battle. So let's run down. Who have we got? Who have you got in your team? You're the heels. You're the Sith. Who have you got on your Sith team?
I'm a Sith. I've turned to the dark side, and which is very much foreshadowed in our previous list. Like all my tops have been like Sith ships and stuff. But
yeah,
I'm going to introduce you to the amazing Palpatine.
Is he your captain?
He is.
Palpatine's your team captain. I see.
Because it's for Palpatine.
Oh, you've got the Palpatine. Okay.
Palpatine. And so we've got Palpatine as a captain, right? And Palpatine is bringing the big guns, right? So, Darth Vader.
Oh, going out right off the gate with Darth Vader.
Right.
Okay,
obvious choice, Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. Right. He's also bringing Darth Maul.
Oh, damn.
Got that double-ended lightsaber action, yeah? Bit of that.
Yeah, Darth Maul, yeah.
And now we're going to the non-film picks, right? Lady Lumaya.
Oh, okay.
Are you familiar with Lady Lumaya?
I don't think I am.
Right, let me give you a rundown of Lady Lumaya. She appears in comics, Star Wars comics.
Okay.
Specifically, Star Wars 56, Coffin in the Clouds. It's her first appearance. She's also in a board game. She is essentially a female Sith that has a lightsaber, but it's not quite a lightsaber. It's a whip. It's a red lightsaber whip.
Mm-hmm.
Works the same. Looks badass. I believe she's also kind of like Vader, where she's like a human kind of cyborg hybrid.
Yeah.
But I picked her because she's got a whip. And I think, you know what? That's also useful and cool, because the Sith stand out on the cool side.
Yeah.
And finally, to round out my team, I'm going from someone from Knights of the Old Republic 2. And that's Darth Nihilus.
Darth Nihilus?
With the mask and the cloak.
I don't think I can win against Darth Nihilus. Do you know what Darth Nihilus does?
Well, it's a weird, like, ghost situation, isn't it?
He, like, literally eats planets. And he eats force and life force.
I was going to pick Darth Bane, but I was like, he seems way too overpowered.
No, Darth Nihilus is like... You've literally picked, like, a world-ender Darth Nihilus. Oh, okay, I don't know how I can stand up to that. Okay.
Well, it depends who you got. Who you bringing?
Depends who I've got, right. Who am I bringing? First off, who is my team captain?
Who is your team captain?
It could only be Mace Windu.
Okay.
Right? It's sizzling Sam Jackson. Mace Windu's bringing the fire. He's bringing the heat. He's got the purple lightsaber, the amethyst blade. He's skilled in the dark side and the light side of the Force in his fighting style. He's really quick. He's really powerful. Mace Windu's leading this squad, okay?
Okay.
Then he's got his right-hand man, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Nice.
With him. Obi-Wan's there. He's going to jump down. He's going to say, hello there.
Sadly, Grievous isn't there, but you've got Vader. It's close enough.
Yeah, exactly. Then we've got Yarrel Poof is beside him.
Right.
That's right, Yarrel Poof. It's the Quirmian Jedi Master. He's a skilled duelist. He's got his lightsaber, and he is ready to fight as well, okay?
Okay.
He's really tall, alien Jedi.
Right.
He's ready. He's a powerful Force user. He's also here. I had to bring a weird one.
Okay.
So Yarrel Poof's on the side.
Yarrel
right?
Poof, okay.
I think you're playing to win. I'm playing more for fun, really.
Well, I was trying to find some, like, really weird... I was hoping there would be, like a Sith, like... what are they called? What's that? Admiral Ackbar's species.
Oh, Mon Calamari Sith.
Yeah. I was hoping it would be, like, a weird, like... I think there is, but I don't think he's that good.
I could have gone for a Mon Calamari Jedi quite easily. But anyway, I've gone for... These are my two... Right, these are good, actually. These last two, these are non-canon sources. Well, one of them is canon, one of them isn't. And this is Cal Kestis.
Right.
Do you know Cal Kestis?
The name sounds familiar.
Yes, because Cal Kestis is the protagonist of Jedi Fallen Order.
Right. Yes, yes, yes. I played
that. And he is indeed a Jedi. He's got a dual-bladed lightsaber too.
He does.
He's got a dual-bladed lightsaber. He's really powerful in the Force. He's like, he's the coolest Jedi there is at the minute, right? Then we've got Roron Korob. You heard me right. Roron Korob.
Okay.
And Roron Korob is an Ithorian Jedi from the 2003 Tarkovsky Clone Wars. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He was one of the Jedi sent to protect Emperor Palpatine. Yes, he was killed by General Grievous. But General Grievous isn't here, is he?
No, he's not.
No, exactly. So Roron Korob has a chance. He's got an amazing ability where he can like shoot force waves out of his neck. He's really powerful in the force, very strong. So Roron Korob is my last choice. It's time to start Star War games.
I did actually nearly pick Taron Malakoff.
Did you?
Yeah.
From Fallen, that okay, that would have been cool if you wanted Taron. But no, I think we're pretty even. I think, even though I say that, but you know what? Cal Kestis could go against Darth Maul. They've both got double-bladed lightsabers.
True.
Mace Windu could like Mace Windu and Obi-Wan could like fight off Vader and Palpatine. Yarrow Poof and Roron Korob could, I don't know.
Do something
as well. So right, let's get the battle started. I think right away.
Yep.
We're gonna go for the Force push.
Okay.
So what you want to do is you want to get distance, right?
Sure.
So also Darth Vader, right? He's big. He's clunky. He's in a big metal suit.
He is.
Sure, he's got his pants. He's strong, but he's strong against like plebs. He's like rebel soldiers and stuff.
Strong against plebs. Nice.
Stormtroopers. He's not gonna be strong against these hardened Jedi masters, right? So what we're going to do is, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and by the way, I'm using episode 3 of Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm
okay.
Not using Alec Guinness. Alec Guinness episode 4 of Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm using Obi-Wan Kenobi in his prime, right? So he's a master duelist. He's strong with the force. He's going to jump down from the basketball court. He's going to call up and he's going to say, "Hello there." And he's going to get his lightsaber out and he's going to do the force push. Bam, straight on Darth Vader.
Okay.
Go ahead, hit me.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay, well, Vader's down. I could try and swim back with Vader, but I think I'll leave him for now. Maul can do some damage. More than Obi-Wan, got some history.
They have.
Got some history. Obviously, yes, Obi-Wan didn't kill Maul, but he defeated Maul, technically.
He cut Maul in half.
But I think Maul wants revenge.
Does he? Yeah.
Maul wants some revenge.
He would do, yeah.
Oh, and Nelson nearly picked Darth Maul's brother. I thought, you know what, I might go for a bit of a double team.
A bit of Savage Opress from the Clone Wars.
But I decided not to.
Yeah.
So yeah, Maul is going to... I'm picturing like a chess match. I'm going to move Maul. He's going to go in front of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He's going to go and he's going to go to like strike Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It's like Warhammer.
Warhammer, yeah, yeah.
So he's going to go for Obi-Wan Kenobi.
So he could be doing that, but instead, I think... He's going to go and duel Obi-Wan Kenobi, that's fine. Right, yeah. Mace Windu, he's going straight for Palpatine.
Okay.
You go straight for the tap. It's time for the door. The captains are going to have a duel here. The team captains.
Oh.
So Mace is going to go straight for Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm sorry, straight for Palpatine.
He's going to go straight for Obi-Wan, is he?
No, he's going to go straight for Palpatine. Obi-Wan's like, he's going to back up Obi-Wan. He's going to help Obi-Wan. He's going to go for Palpatine, right?
Okay, sure.
He's going to go for Palpatine, swinging his lightsaber. He's going to try and get him early.
Okay. I mean...
Counter.
I mean, the only thing I can do with Palpatine is force
shoot lightning, which is lightning. Good. Use the lightning.
Because he obviously hasn't got a light. He didn't need a lightsaber, didn't need it. He's got force lightning.
No, he doesn't. He's so powerful.
It's so powerful with force lightning.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that'll put off Windu for a little bit.
Right. Okay. Cool.
Back and give him some force lightning.
Nice. Nice. Okay. So.
It's very much like a strategy game going on right now.
It is a bit like a strategy game, isn't it? So what I'm going to do is...
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm going to send in one of my guys. I'm going to send in Yarrow Poof. Yarrow
okay.
Poof's going to go in. He's got his lightsaber out. He's ready. He's going to go for a quick attack. He's a fast duelist. He's a tall guy, but he's wily.
Well, he's got
he's
a long neck.
He's going to go for a fast attack on... He's going to go for Darth Nihilus. I think he's going to go straight for Darth Nihilus. he's going to go for the big swing, the big fast attack, because Darth Nihilus is the big guy. He's going to try and get him off balance.
Go for it. Okay. Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to bring in someone to defend Nihilus.
Okay, yeah, right. Get some defense in there. I'm going to
whack in Lady Lumaya.
Oh, she's going to go for it, is she?
She's got a whip.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So it's like, okay, comes poof, like running towards Nihilus, and all of a sudden, right in front of him is a whip.
Oh, damn.
She's standing in front.
She's going to
block this other. Again, but I believe, like Vader, even though she's mech, I believe she's like light armor, very quick.
Yeah. Darth Vader's more heavy armor.
Exactly. She's the light class.
Right, so I'd say Obi-Wan at this point, pretty much school Vader.
Okay.
Taking him down. He's Obi-Wan's fast. Obi-Wan's, you know, he's pulling out the one-liners, your move kind of thing. And he's schooling Darth Vader. He's taking him down. He's quick. He's dodging him, blocking, using force powers. I think he's got Vader on the ropes at this point. He must have.
Okay. I mean, I still have. Okay, so Palpatine's with more. I mean, I could bring in Nihilus for the assist.
Palpatine's with Windu.
I could. Darth Maul's with.
Darth Maul is with he went for Obi-Wan.
Yes.
But I think Cal Kestis might be getting in there now. Cal Kestis is blocking. He maybe blocks Maul's strike, and he's going to duel him. Double lightsabers.
Oh god, here we go. I mean,
they both have dual bladed lightsabers. It'd be pointless not to have them fight.
They do, but I feel like Maul has that one.
Yeah, Maul's more experienced with the double-bladed lightsaber. Cal's powerful in the game, but...
Was he even, like... I know he was a Jedi, but I know he was trained. He was trained by...
Not Eno Cordova, that's the name of another Jedi.
It's not Cobb, is it?
No, it's...
It's Purple Man.
It is, he's a Lassat. I know his name. Oh, God, why can't I think of his name?
I know
what species he is. I know he's a Lassat, but I don't know what his name is at this point in time. It'll come to me. Anyway, Cal Kestis was in fact trained by a Jedi Master. Jaro T'Pol is his name.
Yes, that's the one.
Master Jaro T'Pol. He was trained by Jaro T'Pol, who is a Lassat Jedi, and he had a double-bladed lightsaber as well.
He did.
So he must be skilled in the art of a double-bladed lightsaber. So the duel is probably getting very, it's very fast, very intense. But I think Darth Maul, using the power of the dark side, might have the edge in this fight.
I mean, I think literally his strongest opponent was, I can't remember her name.
Cal Kestis?
Yeah, is it the ninth sister?
No, the second sister.
Yes, the ninth one is the big one, isn't it?
Yeah, the ninth one is the big one. Yeah, the second sister's name is. Trilla Siduri is her name.
Yes, I mean, Cal Kestis ran away from Vader. I was going to point that out.
He did run away from Vader. He wasn't powerful enough for Vader.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't powerful enough for Vader. Fortunately, Vader's preoccupied right now.
Yeah, Vader is preoccupied getting his posterior beaten by Obi-Wan Kenobi. But maybe, do you think Maul could be able to take Cal? It'd be more even than against Vader, so...
It would be. I still have Nihilus in the wings. During his whole
You do have Nihilus in the wings. He's got. He's preoccupied at the minute.
I like to imagine he's just kind of staring. He's just waiting.
Yeah, he is. He's waiting for his time to strike. So your lady. What's her name? Sorry.
Lady Lumaya.
Lady Lumaya is currently preoccupied with Yarl Poof. Roron Korob is not got into this fight either. He's waiting on the wings. But Yarl Poof is fighting Lady Lumaya.
Mm.
He's doing some cool moves. I think he's going to go for something now. He's going to go for the big force slam. He's going to force slam, push her away.
Oh, okay.
Then he might go over and try and help Cal, perhaps.
Interesting. Okay.
Because Cal, I think Cal's on the ropes.
How long is her whip? I won't find out, but... she's got a whip, and she's got a little
Yeah,
whip.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Right, she's got a whip action.
A whip action.
I'm wondering, in the Sith, it looks cool. I'm wondering if that's a long whip. That's longer than she is. That's how tall is she? Wikipedia, tell me.
I don't know. Do we have to work out the specifics?
Tell me, Wikipedia. Tell me. She's got a lot of backstory. Hello. Here we go. Her height. She's nearly 6 foot.
Oh, wow. That is a tall woman.
That's a long whip. I reckon.
That's a whip longer than 6 foot.
I think maybe. She might go for his legs. She might try and.
Yeah,
like,
but. Yeah, Yarrow Poof, though. Yarrow Poof is not to be. Not to be counted out in this fight. I think he's got the skills.
I'm telling you, by the end of his fight, his long neck will not be attached to his body at the end of this.
Oh, hey, how dare you? How dare you? Well, yeah, he's really tall, though. He's probably taller than 6 foot.
Wikipedia, let me tell you.
Yeah, he's really tall. He's probably taller than this foot. He's over 2 meters.
Yes. He's 2.6 meters.
Yeah, so... That's what? 6, 7 foot?
That is 8 foot 5.
Yeah, exactly. So take that. And also he's a skilled duelist. He's got a skilled weapon. He's very powerful in the force. And actually he's able to use something called the force illusion. Which means he can create a clone of himself, like a force vision that you think is him.
Nice.
You don't see him coming, so that way he's able to sneak up behind you and, you know, stab you or cut your head off, whatever he wants to do. So, and also he's got telekinesis.
Nice.
Did you not know that? He's also got telekinesis, and he's also a master swordsman. So it's got this guy Yarrow Poof. Do not sleep on Yarrow Poof. All right. He's got telekinesis. He's got the force. He's got really powerful. And also, he can use the force illusion. I think he's gonna trick Lady Lumiere using his force illusion, right?
Okay.
She thinks he's standing there. She goes to whip nothing, and then behind her, what? It's just gonna cut her across.
Oh, okay.
I'm striking first, Corey. I'm striking first with Daryl Poof. What are you gonna do to that?
I think it's time that Nihilus gets involved then.
Oh no!
If that's how you're going,
is Lady Lumiere down? Is she out?
I think it's time for the big guns.
Oh no. Yarrow Poof's taken out Lady Lumiere using his illusion ability.
Well, he's got to go for. I'm trying to find out how tall Nihilus is. I don't even know how tall he is.
Nihilus is probably very probably of like 10 foot. Maybe not. But...
I mean,
I know Nihilus is incredibly.
He has to go for Yarrow Poof over here.
Oh no. He's going to cut Yarrow Poof's head off.
Nihilus isn't even technically a person.
No, he's not.
He's just weird, like, it's like all connected to his mask. It's this weird spirit thing.
Yeah.
On. He's got to go for Yarrow Poof. He's got to...
He has. He's...
I mean... I can't even look at Yarrow Poof. It's ridiculous.
Okay. How did Yarrow Poof ever get a kill?
I don't know, but I think his time might be up.
Okay, what's he going to do then? Is he going to like throw his lightsaber or use force lightning? What's
he's going to throw it, and he's going to throw the lightsaber. It's going to head clean off,
neck off, everything, and then shoulders upwards.
Exactly.
His long head just like flies in the air and just down. Yarrow Poof and Lady Lumiere have been defeated.
They're gone.
Then they are gone, yes, indeed. But back over at the battle, Cal Kestis is having a bit of trouble against...
Darth Maul.
So Mace is going to sort of divert his attention.
Oh, Mace is waiting for Palpatine.
Mace is trying to hold off Palpatine, yeah, that's right. But what he's going to do is he's going to use the Force and grab Yarrow Poof's lightsaber and, like, use the Force and, like, fling it at Darth Maul.
Great.
Because we've got the Force, so why not?
True. Okay. You go for flame. Okay. Right. Well, Lumiere's gone, so I'm gonna put a cross next to her. She can't do anything. She's out.
Yeah, Yarrow Poof's out as well.
Vader and Obi-Wan didn't do anything. Well, Palpatine's free now.
Palpatine is free. Yeah, Palpatine's free to do some action.
Okay. You're okay. Well, Mace Windu's preoccupied doing force. Do I send Palpatine over? Now, this is the thing. Do I try... Okay, I can send Palpatine over to try and hit Maul. Not Maul. try and hit Mace. It's really confusing. Try and hit Mace Windu when Mace Windu's occupied trying to throw a lightsaber. Or I could just send Palpatine over to help Darth Maul.
Yeah. Roran Korob is also yet to enter the fight.
No, I'm gonna put some pressure on. I'm gonna send Palpatine over to Cal Kestis.
Is it okay, right?
I'm gonna try and take out the weak link here, which is Cal Kestis.
Cal Kestis isn't gonna last long, I can tell you that, against Maul and Palpatine. Mace is gonna have to step in again to try and help him.
Mace might have to do a sacrifice in a minute.
No, Mace is gonna come in. Mace is gonna Palpatine's going for the lightning on Cal. Cal's trying to block, you know, Darth Maul's a very intense fighter.
He is a very intense fighter.
He's intense, he's quick, he's, you know, Ray Park, he's flipping, he's diving, he's dodging.
Dive and dodge.
Yeah. Yep. What's gonna happen is Mace is gonna block. He's gonna block the Force Lightning, and in another move, he's gonna do what Rey did in episode 9. He's gonna use Yara Poof's lightsaber and reflect the lightning back at Palpatine.
Okay.
Respond.
Okay, well, Palpatine Vader and Obi. I like how Vader and Obi-Wan just doing their own thing at this point.
They are. They're just like having a nice. They're just doing it.
Just kind of left them to do their own thing.
Yeah.
No one.
Palpatine could be like eviscerated.
I was about to say I could then pull. I could make Vader jump in front of it and just get killed again by Palpatine, but I won't do that.
Right, okay, that's highly possible.
It's very possible.
Is it going to happen?
Well, Nihilus could do something.
You either lose Palpatine or you lose someone who's...
Okay, we'll put it this way. Nihilus could do something, but I want to keep him. Palpatine is arguably the most powerful Sith, so I kind of need him.
Right.
Darth Vader is good, but he's not on Palpatine's level. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna have Darth Vader jump in front of.
Darth Vader's gonna get in the way.
The lightning.
Of Mace Windu reflecting the lightning at Palpatine. Vader's gonna go in the way. No, he gets shocked and he explodes and dies.
Vader is gone. Now it's time for me to come back. I mean, swing back here. Okay, so
Roran Korob is gonna come into the fight now. I think it's his time.
Okay, well. I think it's time. I can't remember his name. Who is Fallen Order guy again?
Oh, Cal Kestis.
Yeah, I think it's time he goes. Maul is dealing with him still. Vader's got in front. Windu. Okay, I have ascending Nihilus to try and take out Cal Kestis, which is definitely going to kill Cal Kestis. Windu is now occupied with Palpatine, which does give Nihilus a good way of sneaking in there.
Okay. Well, Roran Korob is going to enter the fight now. Okay.
So Nihilus is going for Kestis.
Yeah. And he's going to use his guttural force blast from his neck. He's a Thorian, and he's going to go and blow everybody away.
Everyone.
Everyone is taken down. Okay. At least. Because this is one of the most powerful force attacks. This took out armies of millions of battle droids.
Interesting.
This is just and it takes out everybody, right?
Okay.
So, even his own team, just everyone, just completely lays them out, right? Roran Korob is a powerful, powerful force user, powerful Jedi. So
okay.
He's gonna blow them all away. So it's even. It's sort of everyone's sort of down, apart from him.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it could take advantage here. The Sith could really, you know.
I mean, if everyone's down, this seems like a good time for a bit more lightning, a bit more Palpatine lightning.
Oh, okay.
Because it is a thing, right? You can be knocked down. You can do lightning from any point, right? You can do it from far away.
I dread to think you could just lightning Cal and just take him out.
I mean, that was who I was going to aim for. As much as he's weakest link, I want to get rid of him.
I shouldn't have said that.
So, yeah, I think Palpatine's gonna throw some force lightning in Cal Kestis' way.
Cal probably isn't powerful enough. Cal probably doesn't know the Jedi skill to deflect lightning like Mace Windu does.
I don't think he does, no.
So Palpatine just, you know, goes, unlimited power! and gets in the lightning.
I like to imagine he's doing it while he's being blown away. He's just flying backwards.
Ah, you know. Stick his hands out. I'm doing the action. You can't see it, but I'm doing the action.
You have to with Palpatine. You have to do the actions.
And he goes, unlimited power. And he dies. He gets lightning to death.
It's a somewhere even. Two of ours have gone.
At the minute it is, yeah.
It's your time to.
Right, okay. So Cal and Yarrow Poof are both dead and both down. Yes. That's both of my non-film picks, by the way. No, it's not. It's one. Yarrow Poof and Cal. Yarrow Poof is in the films. So yes. That's one each, I think. I think I've got you four on each as well.
You have. You've got Vader and Lady Lumaya.
Okay. Well, now I think Roran Korob is going to take into the fight now.
Okay.
He's done his big move, but he can't do it for very long. It was like the trump card, right?
Yeah.
So what he's going to pull now is he's going to get his lightsaber and he can go into the door and he's going to go Doth for Doth Maul.
Oh.
He's going to go, because he can't take Nihilus. Nihilus is far too powerful in the Force. And Palpatine is being dealt with by, I think, Mace and Obi-Wan, I think, in a minute. Mace and Obi-Wan are going to team up and really go for Palpatine.
Okay, I have an idea.
But Roran Korob, he's going to go for Maul. He's going to try and... Maul's down. Might be wounded, weakened by the big, powerful Force roar. So Roran Korob is just going to go with his lightsaber and just straight into him.
Right. I'm asking you, like, I like you know this. How close is Caleb's lightsaber to Darth Maul?
You mean Cal's lightsaber?
Yes.
But I like to think they just spread the field.
Because part of me kind of wants Darth Maul to try and like grab his lightsaber and Cal's lightsaber.
Well,
and
we could use the Force though. The Force is an option. You could force it to him and wield those double lightsabers.
Exactly. I want Darth Maul to technically have four.
Oh, well, let's say, right, well, Roran Korob is going to be no match for that.
No,
because he died to Grievous.
Exactly.
And Grievous had four lightsabers.
This is my thinking. I can't have Grievous, but I can have Darth Maul with four lightsabers.
Darth Maul with four lightsabers as opposed to Grievous. Sure thing, right? I think Roran Korob's going down.
I think he is.
That's it. He's done for. He's done with. Darth Maul's just going to grab Cal's lightsaber and do like some sort of weird spin flip move and just take out Roran Korob. He had one move. He did one big Force push, and that was it.
Yeah, he did one Force push, but ended up with Cal dying, which Ren ended up with now him being killed.
No, him being killed. That did nothing. The move did well done, Roran Korob. Good choice. Right. I've now only got Mace and Obi-Wan.
Who are both going for Palpatine. You might have to rethink that.
No, Obi-Wan's going to go for Maul. Is going to do an episode one and just cut Maul and slice Maul in half completely.
That just makes sense.
Yeah, so he's just going to take down Maul. Mace's got Palpatine, got him on a rope, got him down, and Obi-Wan's like, right, I'm going to go over here, take out Maul. So okay. He's going to do a nice slash move, like disarm him of his two lightsabers, and then just go right across, bam, got him.
Okay, I'll take that.
Maul is down.
Right.
He might not be dead, maybe he's cut in half, at least.
Okay, well this now leaves me with a situation, right? Obviously Palpatine...
You've got Palpatine and Nihilus.
Yes. Now Nihilus is going to have to get involved again. However,
I've got Mace and Obi-Wan. It's our captain and someone else left.
Who does he go for? Does he go for Mace Windu and stop him from getting to Palpatine, or does he go for Obi-Wan, who's now just killed someone?
Mm.
Does he try and help Palpatine, or does he go for some? I mean, I kind of like Captain versus Captain.
Yeah. Okay.
But who do I think's more of a threat to Palpatine? Mace Windu or Obi-Wan? Probably Windu.
Windu has probably got Palpatine down pretty much. He's you know, doing the lightning block. He's like, and Palpatine's doing the lightning as well. And Mace might have like, he's doing like some kind of swing and nearly get Palpatine. Obi-Wan's just dealt with Maul, so maybe Obi-Wan might be coming over to help, or maybe he's looking at Nihilus and thinking, I need to take out that guy.
Okay, I'm going to say Nihilus goes for Windu.
Oh, Nihilus is striking Windu. Okay,
I'm
going
to go for Windu. I do still have one trump card that I want to pull out at some point.
Okay.
But yes, he's going to go for Mace Windu.
Right. Okay. I don't think he can last very long as Mace Windu, to be honest. Oh no, sorry. The opposite. I don't think Velasquez Nihilus.
Yeah.
Because Nihilus is one of the most very powerful Palpatine. Dark side users.
Because Mace Windu is with Palpatine as well.
Right, okay. If Mace Windu, right, Mace Windu is finishing off Palpatine then.
Okay.
If Nihilus is going to get to him, then Mace Windu is going to have to take out Palpatine.
Okay.
Because Mace Windu was all about it in episode 3. Mace Windu was gonna kill Palpatine. He had him there ready for Anakin. There's no Anakin here. So Obi-Wan cuts in half, Darth Maul, and then Nihilus is setting to take out Mace. So Mace knows what he has to do, and he just takes out Palpatine. Swing of a lightsaber.
Mm.
So the team captain is fell. But now it's Nihilus versus Mace and Obi-Wan.
Yes. Now, I do have... this is kind of your fault, but I do have a trump card that I might put out at some point.
Okay.
Nihilus has left.
Right. Nihilus is left.
I'm really tempted just to turn around and go, okay, here's Nihilus' next move. He's going to eat the basketball court.
pretty much.
I was tempted at the start just to go, he eats the basketball court.
Right, well, Nihilus' whole thing is the fact that he is this eater of worlds. He is this massive dark side entity. And the extent of his power cannot be put into words. And he is just this massive, almost cosmic Sith Lord, who is this really incredibly powerful, incredibly powerful Sith. So I think effectively that is a viable move for him to win.
I'll accept
that. I'll accept the fact that Mace and Obi-Wan are ready into dueling or ready to get into a fight. Maybe they cross blades, or maybe they try and get him on the ropes a bit, but Nihilus is just gonna just engulf the use his dark side energy and just collapse the basketball court and take them both down.
To be fair, I like to think that Nihilus could have eaten in basketball court since the very start, but he wanted to be the last one left, so you waited.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, sure.
He thought, you know what? I want to be an emperor. I want to be the ruler of a galaxy. So I'm going to wait for all these other people die, and then I'll finish them off.
Yeah, the classic wait for everyone else to die.
Yes.
Before he actually did something. So Nihilus, you knew what you were doing when you picked Nihilus, didn't you?
I knew he was. I didn't know about the planet eating thing, but as soon as you mentioned that, I'm going, right, I'm just going to eat the basketball court then.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I mainly picked him because he just looked cool.
Yeah, he can kill and absorb the energy of anything around him. Is, you know, he's got this amazing ability to just consume worlds, and he's very insanely. He's one of Star Wars' most powerful Sith.
I mean, if you want to learn any lessons from this, join the dark side. It's the obvious answer.
Yeah, be Darth Nihilus.
Yeah, exactly. Be Darth Nihilus.
So there you go. Darth Nihilus has won. He's won the Star Wars games.
Can't wait for Darth Nihilus versus Kermit.
Cosmically consuming everything. And he moves on to the grand final. So yeah, are we obviously a grand final? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I can't wait for Nihilus versus Kermit.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry, I didn't catch that.
that's a battle I want to see.
Yeah. But to close out this episode, we have our weekly rec, and that is going to Corey.
Yes. briefly mentioned, kind of, in this episode, was General Grievous.
Yes.
So I'm going to recommend a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. It's an hour long.
Yep.
And it goes all in depth into General Grievous and his life.
Backstory and all. So who made this video?
It was made by Meta Nerds Law.
Ah, with a Z.
That's who made it, with a Z. Yes, with a Z.
With a Z. Meta Nerds, I knew how you said it.
With a Z. It's an hour long. It was a part two. It was an extra 40 minutes.
All right. Well, give us the name, and we'll give it a bit of a real rating, and then we'll...
I will give it 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. Fan of General Grievous?
Respectable 7 out of 10. I'm a big fan of General Grievous.
Nice. I would have loved him to be in this battle, but unfortunately, he's not a Sith.
So. No, he's not. Hence why Darth Maul ended up wielding four lightsabers.
Yeah, he can't be. He can't use the Force. Don't use the Force. He can't be a Sith or a Jedi. So.
No, but
there we go. That is the real rating for this week. And so we are going to leave you with. We've been pretty nerdy these past few.
We have
50 or so minutes. So we're going to leave you with Weird Al Yankovic and White and Nerdish. Because obviously Weird Al made his own Star Wars song, The Saga Begins. And he came out with this gem in 2006. So here we are. I'm going to leave you with Weird Al Yankovic and White and Nerdy. It's a goodbye from me. Goodbye. And a goodbye from Corey.
Goodbye.
Just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white and nerdy. I wanna roll with the gangsters, but so far they all think I'm too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. I'm just too white and nerdy. Really, really white and
first
nerdy.
First in my class, they're at MIT. Got skills, I'm a champion of D&D. MC Escher, that's my favorite MC. Keep your 40, I'll just have an Earl Grey tea. My rims never spin, to the contrary. You'll find that they're quite stationary. All of my action figures are cherry. Stephen Hawking's in my library. My MySpace page is all totally pimped out. Got people begging for my top 8 spaces. Yo, I know pie to 1,000 places. Ain't got no grills, but I still wear braces. I order all of my sandwiches with mayonnaise. I'm a whiz, a minesweeper, I can play for days. Once you see my sweet moves, you're gonna stay amazed. My fingers moving so fast, I'll set the place ablaze. There's no killer rap I haven't run. At Pascal, well, I'm number one. Do vector calculus just for fun. I ain't got a gap, but I got a soldering gun. Happy Days is my favorite theme song. I could sure kick your butt in a game of ping pong. I'll ace any trivia quiz you bring on. I'm fluent in JavaScript as well as Klingon. Here's the part I sing.
They see me roll on my Segway. I know in my heart they think I'm white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white and nerdy. I'd like to roll with the gangsters, although it's apparent I'm too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. I'm just too white and nerdy. How'd I get so white and nerdy?
Been browsing, inspecting X-Men comics, you know I collect them. The pens in my pocket, I must protect them. My ergonomic keyboard never leaves me bored. Shopping online for deals on some writable media. I edit Wikipedia. I memorize Holy Grail really well. I can recite it right now and have you ROTFLOL. I got a business doing websites. While my friends need some code, who do they call? I do HTML for them all. Even made a homepage for my dog. Yo, I got myself a fanny pack. They were having a sale down at the Gap. Spend my nights with a roll of bubble wrap. Pop, pop, hope no one sees me getting freaky.
I'm nerdy and the extreme and whiter than sour cream.
I was in AV club and glee club and even the chess team. Only question I ever thought was hard. What do I like, Kirk, or do I like Picard?
Spend every weekend at the Renaissance Fair. Got my name on my underwear. They see me strolling, they laughing, and rolling their eyes cause I'm so white and nerdy.
Just because I'm white and nerdy.
Just because I'm white and nerdy.
All because I'm white and nerdy. Holy cow, I'm white and nerdy.
I wanna bowl with the gangsters, but oh well, it's obvious I'm
just too white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
I'm just too white and nerdy.
Look at me, I'm white and